From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the book of Joshua. The text is verses 17 and 18 of chapter 17. By this point, the children of Israel had completed the conquest of Canaan. In chapter 14 and verse 15, we read that the land had rest from war. As a nation, Israel never had to go to war again. Yet each tribe still had to possess the land that had been allotted to them, for in each case pockets of resistance remained. In our text, Joshua exhorts the tribes of Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh, saying, "Thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have chariots of iron, and though they be strong." In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns will apply these words to the Christian life. Those who truly know Christ as their Savior still have to battle against sin throughout their earthly lives. These are the Canaanites, whose presence is a source of grief to every believer. Some are deeply entrenched, and great effort is required to drive them out. This ongoing warfare against sin is what is called sanctification, and it lasts as long as the individual Christian is in this world. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the opening portion of a message entitled, The Holy War of Sanctification. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Ezra chapter 7 and verse 22. Salt, without prescribing how much. Salt was used in every offering made by fire unto the Lord, and from its preserving and purifying properties, it was the grateful emblem of divine grace in the soul. It is worthy of our attentive regard that when Artaxerxes gave salt to Ezra the priest, he set no limit to the quantity. And we may be quite certain that when the King of Kings distributes grace among his royal priesthood, the supply is not cut short by him. Often we are straitened in ourselves, but never in the Lord. He who chooses to gather much manna will find that he may have as much as he desires. There is no famine in Jerusalem, that the citizens should eat their bread by weight and drink their water by measure. Some things in the economy of grace are measured. For instance, our vinegar and gall are given us with such exactness that we never have a single drop too much. But of the salt of grace no stint is made. Ask what thou wilt, and it shall be given unto thee. Parents need to lock up the fruit cupboard and the sweet jars, but there is no need to keep the salt box under lock and key, for few children will eat too greedily from that. A man may have too much money or too much honor, but he cannot have too much grace. When Jeshurun waxed fat in the flesh, he kicked against God. But there is no fear of a man's becoming too full of grace. A plethora of grace is impossible. More wealth brings more care, but more grace brings more joy. Increased wisdom is increased sorrow, but abundance of the Spirit is fullness of joy. Believer, go to the throne for a large supply of heavenly salt. It will season thine afflictions, which are unsavory without salt. It will preserve thy heart, which corrupts if salt be absent. And it will kill thy sins, even as salt kills reptiles. Thou needest much, seek much, and have much.
And my days, let them flow in sin. take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee.
From time to time, here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the LTBSradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
We return to the book of Joshua this morning. The book of Joshua. And we're in that section of the book that gives you a list of the places allocated to each of the tribes and how they began to go up to conquer them. Instead of reading all those details in chapters 15 and 16 and 17, we're going to read verse 17 and 18 of the 17th chapter. Joshua 17, verses 17 and 18. And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, Thou art a great people, and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine, for it's a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. Especially I'll draw your attention to the last couple of lines. Thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. When Joshua 14, verse 15 says the land had rest from war, it does not mean that Israel had no more battles to fight in their settlement of the promised land. The reference is rather to a general war, and the verse means simply that from that point onwards, the land was so subdued that never again did all the armies of the nation of Israel, made up from all the tribes, have to take the field of battle. The nation, as a nation, no longer had to go to war. The war was over. No enemy was strong enough to necessitate the gathering of the national army. In that sense, the land had rest from war. And from that point, you never again read of Joshua going to war. But each tribe had to go in to possess its own particular inheritance. When each of them did so, it was discovered that there were Canaanites still in possession, so that each tribe had to go in and contend with the remnant of the Canaanite tribes that were still there. Now, all this has a very pertinent spiritual message for the Israel of God. Canaan is not only an actual location and an ancient name for the land that we have variously called Israel or Palestine, or now the West Bank and Gaza. Canaan is also a typical name in Scripture. Many people take it as a type of heaven. That may be allowed up to a point, but it's certainly not a full type of heaven, because anybody knows that when you go to heaven, you don't go to battle. You go to rest from battle. Canaan, rather, represents the condition of the soul who through faith in Christ has entered into his rest in salvation, but has not yet received his final deliverance from sin. That's the real and most important aspect of Canaan that we have got to keep in mind as we read this portion of the book of Joshua. We are God's Israel if we're saved, and we have entered into Christ's rest, or Christ's Canaan. Just as the children of Israel had to go in enjoying the rest that their Joshua had purchased for them and won for them, but had yet to battle against the remnants of the Canaanites, So we have entered into rest in Christ, but we have not yet received our final deliverance from sin. Sanctification in the believer is incomplete. And as he comes to enjoy the possession that he has in Christ, he will find that the Canaanites oppose him just as truly as they opposed the children of Israel. There is the Canaanite root of original sin that's still in every Christian. That's what Romans 7 is all about, where the apostle, looking inward, cries, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" That's the root of original sin. Rises up to oppose us. There is that within every one of us by nature which is an inveterate enemy of God, of God's Christ, of God's grace, and of the progress of holiness in our souls. The root of original sin. Then there is temptation. And there is the opposition that the world and the devil would mount against us. Temptations are obstacles to holiness. Temptations are methods that are used by our flesh and by the world and by the devil to seek to trip us up in our walk with God and to halt our progress with Christ. So every Christian has a battle with the tribes of evil forces that possess the very land that he needs to take for Christ. We must battle these before we ever take possession of our land perfectly and enter finally into the sinless deliverance of all from all these things. The great C.H. Spurgeon, thinking of this subject, said, "No believer's sword will sleep long in its scabbard. Sin is a powerful enemy, and if you're a child of God, you'll have to fight it." The great Baptist preacher was very, very accurate. I don't know, in reading different preachers, I don't know any that is a better physician of the soul than Spurgeon. And here he puts his finger right on the important thing. Child of God cannot sheath his sword. Oh, he has entered into the rest of salvation. He doesn't need to fight to get into Canaan anymore. That battle's over. He doesn't need to fight to be saved. Christ has done all the fighting that's necessary. But now that he is saved, to make progress, to lay hold of the rich provision that Christ has for his people, to be drawn closer to him, to be more equipped to serve him until that day dawns when we are made like him, we will have to unsheath the sword of the Spirit, and if we are children of God, fight against sin. Spurgeon went on to add the verse of a hymn that we don't have in any hymn book I know today. Some of you with a better knowledge of hymn books will be able to show me where it is, and I'll be glad to see it. This is one of these old experimental hymns they used to be called. The word we use now is experiential. For some reason or other, I detest that word. I know it's in the dictionary, but to me it sounds like something that a drunk man dreamed up one night. Experimental means it comes in actual experience. This old experimental type of hymn has been driven out of our hymn books in favor of the touchy-feeling candy floss. What do they call it? Cotton candy is what I mean by candy floss. Cotton candy kind of hymns that you have in the church today. The hymn writer said, "The land of triumph lies on high. There are no fields of battle there. Lord, I would conquer till I die and finish all the glorious war." That glorious war that the hymn writer describes here is the struggle of our sanctification. And at this point, the record of Joshua is very true to life. In Joshua 15, 16, and 17, we read of the widespread victories that the various tribes enjoyed. They had victory after victory as they entered into the enjoyment of their possessions. Nobody could read what they did and deny that these people were conquering people. They were people who were living in victory. But yet, each tribe had its failures. The Lord's command in the words of our text was, "Thou shalt drive out the Canaanites. Though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong, thou shalt drive out the Canaanites." However, each tribe failed at some point. For example, in chapter 15, verse 63, we read, "As for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem unto this day." Indeed, it wasn't until David came to Jerusalem to make it the capital of the United Kingdom, after having been king 7 years over Judah in Hebron, he came up to Jerusalem as king over all Israel. And it wasn't until that time that he sent Joab up and drove out the Jebusites. Until that time, and even on that occasion, the Jebusites were able to mock the armies of Israel. So Judah couldn't drive out the Jebusites. In chapter 16, verse 10, we read, "They drave not out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites unto this day and serve under tribute." So the Ephraimites also failed. That was Joshua's own tribe. They failed to drive out the Canaanites. And then we read of Manasseh in chapter 17, verse 12. "Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in the land." What a telling expression that is. As I say, all this has a spiritual message for us. This is true to our experience. You will find, as you pursue the holy war of sanctification, that there are Canaanites who would dwell in the land. There are Canaanite sins. There are tribes of sins, lusts, temptations, moral and spiritual weaknesses that tenaciously desire to dwell in the land. How true to our experience. We may well cry, as did the psalmist in Psalm 119, verses 4 and 5, "Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently." That's the command of God. And then we may well utter the prayer, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes."
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.